Rather, we're talking about a healthy inner regard for oneself that arises from the awareness of one's true worth in God's eyes. So likewise, we are bound to devalue ourselves until we recognize the value that God's signature on our lives carries. See, if we're going to walk tall and unleash the power of God confidence in our lives, we can't surrender our minds to ugly thoughts that serve only to steal, kill, and destroy.
All right, how's everybody today? You guys good? You sounded good, man. You were singing. And it's great to see you. I hope you had a great week. Mine was fantastic, made all the better by the outcome of a certain game on Thursday night. My sons, my two son-in-laws, we were up there. We actually had a great time sitting up there at Lambeau. And, of course, it always helps you when your team wins, right? Particularly when it's against a particular team. I won't mention any names. We just had a good time. Anyway, let's give it up for our other campuses today. Galesburg, Chile, Canton, Princeton. And our online family, let's welcome them as well. Great to have you guys with us. We're at part four of this series called Walking Tall, in which we're discovering secrets to developing the kind of God confidence that our Lord wants us to know in our lives. And today I want to talk about the necessity of fighting against passivity in our lives. Because how many of you know that nothing positive ever happens in our lives until we step out in faith to obey God and take action regarding the dreams He's put in our hearts or perhaps some changes we know need to happen in our lives? That's true in any endeavor in our lives. Do nothing to pursue the new job you'd love to have and you'll stay stuck in the current job you can't stand. Do nothing to make more sales this year than you did last year, and you'll get what you got last year. Do nothing to improve your marriage, and you'll stay stuck in the same old marriage. Do nothing to confront the personal issue that's been dogging you for years, and you'll continue to live with that dog for a lot more years. Do nothing to grow in your walk with God, and you'll stay right where you've always been. Do nothing and you'll always get what you've always got. So the question is, if we know that passivity leads to living in the same old ruts. Somebody defined a rut one day as simply a grave with the ends kicked out. And if you know that living in passivity leads to the same old ruts in our lives, why do we have such a difficult time choosing something different? And the answer to that question is fear. Most of us live with situations we don't like out of fear that in opting for something different, we may get something worse. So we just put up with the familiar, even though we can't stand it. We've been learning in this series that if we let fear and insecurity run our lives, we can actually miss out on so much of what God wants to give us, just as a whole generation of Israelites missed out on the promised land that God wanted to give them. And certainly that's true in any area of our lives where we're allowing passivity to keep us from taking the steps of faith that we need to take. Hebrews 11 in the Bible is known as the great faith chapter. And it records a list of great men and women of faith, all of whom would have missed out on their miracle moments had they not stepped out in faith, had they just kind of succumbed to passivity. Let's look at a couple of these verses. Verse 7 says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, it had never rained on the earth yet. So he's warned of a flood coming. What did he do? Just kind of passively said, well, I guess nothing I can do about it. No, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By faith, verse 8, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, just sat back in his lazy boy chair and said, well, I guess if God wants to give me that inheritance, he can. No, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Next verse, 24, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He was living high up in the Egyptian government. He could have just enjoyed the pleasures there. But no, by faith, he said, I'm going out with these people. I'm a Hebrew, and I'm going with them. I'm going to lead them out of the promised land. And then verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. After the people had marched around them 7 days, they could have said, well, if God wants those walls to fall, he'll just move them. No, they had to get up and march around them by faith. All of these things happen because someone threw off passivity and decided to obey God. They stepped out in faith to receive their miracle. And guys, just know this. The biggest obstacle to ever seeing more of what God wants to do for you is the first step. It's always that first step. Why? Because this is where you have to fend off passivity and take control of that stinking thinking we talked about last week. You get ready to take a step of faith, and you will hear all kinds of voices in your head, like, who are you to do that? What if it doesn't work out? What if you get worse than what you had before, right? How do you know God really wants you to do that? What if it doesn't happen, see? On and on it goes with all the excuses as to why you shouldn't step out to do what you know you should do. And taking that first step is always the hardest because you always have to step through what I call the first step jitters. Don't ever think that just because you're walking in God confidence that you won't feel the jitters. God confidence helps you to step through them. See? And often the only difference between those who see God do amazing things and those who don't is the first step. See, some people step out in spite of their jitters, and others are held back because of their jitters. But if you're going to walk tall in godly confidence, you'll have to walk through the jitters. For instance, I've stepped out to pray healing for hundreds of people now, but sometimes I'm just flat out tired, don't feel like praying, and sometimes I'm battling my own weak faith, like, you know, nothing's going to happen. Sometimes it just doesn't feel like the right place and the right time, right? In other words, it's easier for me to pray for somebody down here at the altar after a church service than it is to pray for somebody in the gym when God puts somebody on my heart to pray there. You understand, right? Some places just feel like they're a little more conducive for prayer. But I am learning in my life to just, as God says it, step through the jitters and just do what he tells you to do. Why? Because I know passivity never brings about anything positive. Taking that step of faith allows God to do something amazing. I learned that again just this past Monday. I was home in Archbold, Ohio, with my family celebrating my dad's 93rd birthday. Is that amazing? 93 years old. I mean, he's good enough to make it to 100, but I don't think he wants to. I said, Dad, we'll see you for 94. He goes, I hope not. See, I think you live long enough. You know, you're just ready, and that's kind of where he is. But it was the first time in a long time we had all my brothers and sisters together, and we had a great time. We had that staple at the Rickner household, homemade ice cream, and then a bunch of my nieces and nephews showed up, and it was great to see a bunch of them. My oldest nephew, and the one, you know, I've just watched him grow up. He came along when I was in high school. I've just always loved Matt. And I did his wedding to Farah a few years ago. And so it was great to see Matt and Farah. I've been watching them grow in their faith over the last few years. It's exciting to see the steps they're taking. But Farah showed up, and she's just kind of glassy-eyed. I could tell something's not right, you know. And I said, hon, you doing okay? And she went on to tell me about this excruciating pain she was having in her neck and her back that she'd been battling. She said, I'm just jacked up on all kinds of meds right now, just trying to make the situation tolerable, you know. And guys, I can't say that every time I hear something, I feel like it's my prayer assignment. But in that moment, I just felt the nudge of the Spirit, pray for her tonight before you leave here. Now, I want you to know that the moment I heard that, at the same time, there are all kinds of other, little messages going off in my mind, like, well, you know, maybe she's going to think that's weird. Maybe she's not up to it. You know, it's a birthday party. It's not the right place, not the right time. And what if nothing happens, you know? So just kind of forget it. But I fought that off. That was a battle with passivity. There can actually be a spirit behind that just lying to you so you don't step out to do what God's calling you to do. But I just looked at her. I said, hey, Farrah, before you go tonight, if you're up for it, I'd love to pray for you. She said, that'd be great. So, you know, I stepped through all of those little jitters a little bit later when they were getting ready to go. They rounded up their little guy, and I thought, well, it's time to pray. And I said, Lord, I feel like you put this on my heart, so I'm going to step out, and I'm just trusting you to come through. So I said, Farrah, we just went out in the garage just so we could have a place where it was nice and quiet and away from everything. Said, Farrah, what level of pain do you have right now? Scale of 1 to 10. She said, I've got it like a 7. That's after she is drugged up. And she's got a level 7. And I just asked her if it'd be okay if I lay my hand on her back and I just asked the Holy Spirit to come and manifest his healing presence in her body. We just waited for a little bit. And then I began to speak to that condition because Jesus told us to speak to the mountain, right? I just said, now, pain, your job's done here. You just leave. And I just asked for that back to be corrected now in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that you just make everything good right now. I prayed maybe, you know, just a couple minutes of just waiting on the Spirit and praying a little bit. I said, Farrah, you want to check your back? You know, sometimes they forget to check. And she just starts kind of doing this. And she goes, wow, it's a lot better. I said, well, where's the 7? She said, well, that's maybe a 2. But she said, there are 4 other spots that were bothering me, and they're all gone right now. I said, well, that's a good thing. I said, let me just pray a little bit more. And I prayed for like maybe another minute and just said, now, 2, you go all the way to 0 in Jesus' name. She doesn't need to carry this pain anymore. And within just another minute, I said, check your back. She said, it is all gone. Guys, how is that for a little prayer at a birthday party? See? And so the point I'm making is that when I felt the prompting to pray for her earlier in the evening, it would have been easy just to dismiss it. I could have listened to a myriad of excuses in my head that would have led me to eventually do nothing, to essentially do nothing. And of course, the surest way for nothing to have changed that night would have been to do nothing. How many of you know that the surest way to get nothing is to pray for nothing, right? You'll never receive 100% of the answers of the prayers you don't pray. You know, you just won't receive answers to those prayers. And so the only way we receive is to step out and to pray. Farrah would have gone home as bound by pain as when she came, but she went home different only because I won the battle of passivity that night and took a step of faith, and God showed up. And it's always cool, you know, when he shows up. And I tell you that little story to say this. I can't think of anything good that has ever happened in my life through passivity. I can't think of any positive change that has ever happened in my life through passivity. I can't think of any miracle moment that has ever happened in my life through passivity. And I'm going to bet the same is true with you. So I want to talk today about how to take a step of faith when fear is attempting to keep you mired in passivity. It's one of those things you'll always have to throw off if you're going to walk in God confidence. One of the great stories of the Bible that helps us understand this dimension of walking tall is found in 1 Samuel 14. King Saul already has the assignment to take out the enemies. He's gotten compromised in his faith. He's just kind of gone passive. And he and his men are just lazily sitting around one day, afraid to make any move against their perpetual enemy, the Philistines. Saul's apparently already decided there was nothing they could do about the problem, so he has retreated to a nice, comfortable seat under a pomegranate tree with no intention of taking action, even though he doesn't like what's happening. His son Jonathan, however, got the bright idea one day that a step of faith might produce something more than passivity has produced to this point. Look at what happens here, 1 Samuel 14 and verse 1. One day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he did not tell his father, stop there for a minute. I find that interesting. Why didn't he tell his father? Because his father had already made a decision that nothing could be done. You're not going to get permission from somebody who is mired in passivity and doesn't think anything can happen. Some of you get ready to take a step of faith to make a change where you need to make a change. And some of the people around you who are kind of enjoying the passivity are going to be the very ones who oppose you. That's what happens when somebody steps up to make change. Somebody steps out in faith. Didn't tell his father. Now look at this. Verse 6. He said, come, let's go over to the outpost. They've now crossed over. They're right there in front of the outpost. Here's faith speaking. Perhaps the Lord will. Don't know what he's going to do, but I have faith to believe it's going to be better than if I do nothing. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. His young armor bearer, inspired by Jonathan's faith, said, I'm all in, let's go. And in the end, because Jonathan decided to take action, the Lord gave the army of Israel a great victory that day. One man, believing that a step of faith was preferable to passivity, changed the entire situation. And the same can happen for any one of us in this place today. So the question is, how do we step out in faith when we're confronted or we're bound by passivity? I want to give you five keys today to faith in the face of passivity. And I haven't done an acrostic for a little while, so this will spell faith. F-A-I-T-H. Ready? Here's the five keys. If I'm going to step out in faith when I'm confronted with passivity, key number one, I'm going to have to feed on God's word. Feed on God's word. Somebody once said, feed your faith and your fears will starve to death. Feed your faith and your fears will starve to death. This is how you develop your faith reflex. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And every one of you know what this means, because you are receiving the word of God today. And you know what's happening in some of your hearts? Faith is rising up. You've had that experience before. You may have come in here cold. You may have come in here unbelieving. You may have come in here, you know, just like, I don't know if anything's going to change. And while you listen to the word, faith rose up and you walked out of here a whole lot taller than when you came in, because God stirred your faith. That's why you need that a whole lot more than just from Sunday to Sunday. You need to sit down with the Word of God open in front of you every day of your life and say, Lord, feed me. Stir my faith. Stir my faith. Feed me from your Word. Guys, the key to faith is feeding on the Word of God, hearing the Word of God in your spirit. And then when that word connects with your spirit, faith rises up and you step out to obey God. Guys, I'm telling you, that's true in any area of development in your life. I don't care whether it's faith for salvation. You couldn't have believed God for salvation, Jesus Christ for salvation, had you not heard the word first. I don't care if it's faith for forgiveness, faith for freedom, faith for healing, faith for answers to prayer. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. There are a whole lot of churches today that all they know is the salvation message. It's all they ever teach. Put your faith in Jesus and you'll go to heaven. And they have faith to believe that, but nobody's ever taught them faith for healing, faith for miracles, faith for freedom, right? You can't believe for anything that you haven't first heard. That's why you have to be in the Word of God. You have to know what He's saying to you. You have to allow the promises of God to rise up in your heart about particular situations where God says, you know that promise right there? That's for that situation right there in your life. And now faith rises up because you've been feeding on the Word, and you can believe God for the step that you need to take. Man, Jonathan understood the Word of God for the moment. He knew that God's will was for them to defeat the Philistines. God had already made that clear. So understanding God's word, he also saw, here's the thing, guys, when you step out in faith, you seek God for confirmation of the direction you're going. I don't always have a verse for the very step I'm supposed to take. But the promises of God have given me faith to step out, but I also go asking God for confirmation. God, would you just confirm it by opening that door? I believe you've spoken to me, so I'm going to step through this door. I'm going to go this direction. I'm asking you to keep open doors and closing doors because I just want to be right in the middle of your will. And I want to tell you, he will confirm that word for you. As you step out to obey God, you ask him to confirm the way for you. One of the great miracle stories here, and I like to tell these stories particularly for some of you who are somewhat new. We have all kinds of miracle stories in our history where God caused faith to rise up, but I didn't have chapter and verse to say, hey, ask me for that office space. We were at the truck dock out of North University for several years, and the very first year we outgrew our office space because we needed it for children's space, and now we were searching for office space for the staff, and right across the parking lot was a Mordew building that still sits there today. We had asked them 3 or 4 times if they had any space in their offices coming opening. I think they were like, quit asking us. We not only don't have any space open, we don't have any space coming open. So how do I describe the fact that God kept speaking to me about it? Believe me for this. Ask me for this. One day I pulled my little car up there. I was driving my little Geo at that time. I pulled my car right up in front of that office space. And knowing that they had said no to us 3 or 4 times, I said, Lord Jesus, you put it in my heart to ask you for this. Would you give us this office space? We were having to make a decision about alternative office space by bringing in portable space. It was going to cost us a lot. And I was going to pick up the phone and make the call the very day. Before I did, I said to my executive pastor, before I make this call, go back over to Mordew one more time. I think he was like, are you nuts? I've already asked him 3 times. But you know what? That day, he come back shaking his head and say, Kel, you aren't going to believe this. They told me that they have a whole half of the building open that is ours for our offices if we want. And we got the cheapest office space in town for the next 3 years. Anybody want to give God glory for that? Feed on the word of God and he will pour into you promises that you're to believe him for even when the situation looks impossible. And then as you step out, you say, Lord, confirm my direction, and he'll do it. But it begins. Listen, if you're going to walk in faith, you're going to have to feed on the word of God. Key number 2. The A here is anticipate positive results. Hebrews 11:1 describes faith this way. Look at this. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Underline that sure and underline that certain. How can I be sure if I don't have it? I'm just hoping for it. How can I be certain if I don't see it? Well, when God speaks a word of faith into your heart, it's like, you know, I'm already anticipating that there's going to be positive results as I step out. That's the essence of faith. That as I step out, things will turn out for my good because I'm trusting God. If I just think, well, you know what? Nothing is going to happen anyway, then I won't step out and passivity will win the day. I'll miss out on what God was going to do. No, if you're trusting God and you're being led by the Spirit of God in accordance with the Word of God, then you can anticipate positive results as you step out in faith. In fact, I would say to you that one of the ways you pray in faith, as you get an image, a picture in your mind of what the desired outcome looks like. All right, so I'm praying for those offices. I'm seeing in my mind that we're in those offices, and I'm saying, God, will you take us from here to here by faith in Jesus Christ? That's how I'm praying that positive picture because I'm anticipating positive results. So I met for breakfast with a pastor friend of mine this week. His name's Peter, and I always love whenever I have a chance to get with him. There's something about, he's just a great man of faith. He's got great stories. And it just, you know, there are people, you sit down with them, you come away, and your faith is built up. And Peter used to pastor a church in Atlanta. He married a gal here from Peoria. We've known each other for a long time, but he used to have me come to Atlanta during my study break, and many, many times I spoke at his church during the summer. He hasn't been pastoring there for about 10 years. He ran into just some major issues with 3 out of his 6 elders. I'm so grateful we have great elders in this church, guys. I am. You can thank God for that. But several years ago, just how many of you know you can be an unbelieving believer You've asked God and you've asked Jesus into your heart, and you know you're going to heaven, but you just don't believe God for anything. You're an unbelieving believer. That's what he had, about three of those on his elder team. And they had moved into a new building, and their increase, the attendance just took off, and they were winning people to Christ. And Peter just began to feel like, man, if we could only have a couple more acres around this building for parking, that would be awesome. But you know, acreage in Atlanta got a hefty price tag, a couple million dollars. But as he was praying one day, you know, there's no chapter and verse that says, Peter, I'm going to give you the parking space. But God, through faith, spoke into his life and said, ask me and get the church praying, because I want to show you what I can do in answer to unified prayer in the body. And he took that to his elders. And three out of his six elders said, listen, you just forget about parking lot, okay? Those are our issues, and we don't need you worrying about that kind of stuff. We'll take care of that when the time comes. Basically told him, just let it go. And as he continued to pray, the Lord said, no, I want you to call the church together to pray. And Peter told him, he said, I'm not telling you that God's going to give us that land, but I believe he wants us to pray about it, because I think he wants to do something here. So he felt like, he told the elders, I feel like I need to call the church to pray, and I'm going to do it. And three of those elders said to him, if you call the church to pray, we will stand up in that meeting and oppose you. Are you serious? I'm like, you have a problem with the church praying and believing God for something? Seriously? So the next Sunday, he called the church to pray, and guess what? Those three elders chickened out and sat there. But he let them know, I believe God has spoken by faith. I can't tell you for sure that this is going to happen, but I believe he wants us to give him the opportunity to show us what he'll do if we all come together, united prayer, and ask him to give us the space around us for parking. He got to the end of that service, and a young man who had never attended his church before, Peter didn't know him, came running up just looking absolutely distraught, like he just had an encounter with God, his hair's on end, you know, this type of thing. He says, Peter, have you ever mentioned that before? Have you ever called the church to pray for that land before? He said, no, this was the first Sunday. He said, I don't know how to tell you. He says, I was on my way to my church today, and the Spirit of God just said, go to this church, and brought me in here. And I didn't know why, but I couldn't get away from it. Go to this church today. And he said, I come to this church, and now I know why I was here, because you spoke about that land. Peter, my family and I own that land. And I want you to know, I'm going to pray about it. We're going to seek the Lord about what he would have us to do. How many of you would say that's a pretty good thing right there, huh? He says, Cal, I don't know if you remember the story. He said, I didn't see the guy again. He said, I don't remember what it was, like a year. And I'm continuing to pray. I'm continuing to encourage the church to pray. And all of a sudden, one day, I get a call from the lawyers of that family. They're saying, we just got to offload some taxes for this family, and they want to get out from under this land, so they want to give it to you as a gift. And not only that, but we want to draw up the transaction really, really fast. And since we know you probably don't have any lawyers that have been working on this, we're going to pay the $20,000 lawyer fee so that we can just get it written up real quick, and the land will be yours. And that's how they came about that land. How's that for just believing what God said and stepping out to receive? Listen to me. You can stay in passivity and miss out on so much of what God wants to do. But here's part of what I'm saying as well. When you step out, you be ready to stay there. That's why you got to feed your faith, because it may not happen overnight. It may take a year. It may take a two. You don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. It may take a long time for that answer to come, and you may face all kinds of opposition. So you got to keep feeding your faith and anticipating the positive results until the results come. Here's what I know. Anticipate nothing, and you'll get it every time. Key number three. Now you're feeding your faith, you're feeding on the Word of God, you're anticipating positive results. Key number three, you initiate action towards the desired end. Faith is always active. Again, look at the accounts in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered. By faith, Noah built. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went. Right on down the list. They all said, I've got to take a step out of my passivity. I got to step through my fear. I got to step through my jitters. I've got to initiate action towards the desired end. So yes, lay out your plans. Yes, assess the costs. Do your homework. But at the end of the day, just know that nothing will happen until you initiate action and take a step in the direction of your desired end, what you believe God is asking you to do, because when you move, then God moves. It's not the other way around. See, many of us are sitting around. I understand. There's a legitimate biblical waiting where I'm waiting for him to give me my next step. I'm not talking about that. You already know what your next step is. You already know something needs to change. And God's just saying, hey, when you move, then I'll move. Right? Some of you are stuck in your life today because you're waiting around for luck or chance to bring about the changes that you should be making by choice, by that step of faith. It's like the old country farmer I heard about who was sitting in his rocking chair out in the front porch one day, just kind of taking it easy, and a stranger kind of came by, and he thought, well, that's kind of different that right at the height of busy season, that guy's out just not doing much, and he called out to him. He said, hey, how you doing? Farmer said, well, I reckon I couldn't be much better. He said, you know, 2 weeks ago, a cyclone came along and knocked down all the trees I was going to have to chop down for next winter's firewood, so that job's all done. And then last week, lightning struck and burned all the brush I was going to have to clear for planting, so that job's all done. And then this week, it rained so hard that it cleaned all the mud off my truck just as I was fixing to wash it, so that's done. And then he said, the way things been going around here lately, I'm just sitting back waiting for an earthquake to shake all the taters out of the ground. And I think sometimes, believers were like, we're sitting back waiting for the taters to be shaken out of the ground. And God's saying, no, I want you to take a step. Because when you move, then I'll move. We all know people who are living their lives that way, passively waiting for chance to bring about the changes they should be making by choice. Many times we as Christians, as I said, can be passively waiting for God to move. And the whole time God is saying, I'll move when you move. Many times God's just waiting for us to take a step of faith out of our parking place of passivity. So let me ask you, what steps have you taken to initiate action towards the changes you know you need to make, the changes you long to see happen in your life, the dreams you long to see fulfilled? Have you initiated action? Because if you can't tell me you have, you're waiting for the tater to be shaken out of the ground. No, you got to initiate. Jonathan, had he not never taken a step of faith that day, there'd been no victory. Now, key number four. Very, very important. Again, remember, I'm spelling faith as it relates to overcoming passivity. So this really fits here, and that is train in specific areas of need. Sometimes what holds us back is our lack of training in a specific area. All right, if that's true, then your first step to overcoming passivity is to get training in an area in which you're afraid to step out in faith, primarily because you don't feel like you know what you're doing. And every one of us heard that. About the time we feel like, man, I really like to step out and do that, we hear, no, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know enough. I don't know how, right? Doesn't matter what it is. There are some people, they never share their faith. I don't know how to share my faith. Get training in how to share your faith. Some people, I could never step out to pray for somebody's healing because I don't know how to pray for that. Got a pretty easy answer for that. Get some training. I don't care what it is. What's the area where there needs to be change or there needs to be growth? Get some training. You are far more likely to step out in faith in any area of your life where you're trained than in areas where you're totally untrained. Some people think the disciples just did all they did because, well, they knew how to trust God. No, they had 3 years of training with Jesus. That's pretty good training. And Jesus was the one who taught this principle in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. Look, everyone who is fully, what's the word? Trained will be like his teacher. Jesus taught training. Yes, you have to trust God, but listen, you'll be more likely to step out in confidence if you're trained than if you're not trained. So I'm asking you the question, where do you want to be more like your teacher? You're probably never going to get there if you don't get some training. You know, part of what happened in the garage on Monday night started in my life when I was 27 years old. And I was asking questions about why some churches seem to see the healing power of God and others don't. Why? I knew it wasn't, well, God just loves some people more than he loves others. I knew that wasn't the answer. Our denomination knew the message of salvation and forgiveness, but we had nothing to do with praying for people in expectancy that God would heal them. So as a 27-year-old, I decided to get some training. I was going to go find the answers. I spent money. I flew all over the country. It would put myself in places where I could learn and where I could be trained. I actually went, I still love the title of this particular one. I trusted the teachers. I kind of knew who they were. But they did one out in California called How to Have a Healing Ministry Without Making Your Church Sick. Right? Because we all know some sick churches that pray like you saw up there today. And at that particular conference, I still remember the training. I got a little 5-step process that I still use in praying for people who are sick. And they said, when you go home, we want you to pray for 50 people before you start assessing whether anything is working or not. Why did they say 50? Because they knew the likelihood was that if you prayed for 50, you were going to say a healing here and there, and that was going to be enough to give you confidence to keep you out there doing it. So I said, okay, God, I can do that. I'll just start praying for people. And at that time, I was in a small church. I did all the marrying and burying and going to the hospitals and all that type of stuff. And for the first person, I tell you what, I'll always love Stella Black. I went to the hospital to visit Stella. She was in her 70s probably at that time. Beautiful lady. But she was very sick. She had an issue of bleeding. They thought she had an aneurysm maybe in her stomach somewhere. She was just as weak as could be. Pain. I went in to see Stella. I said, Stella, can I pray for you? And I wasn't going to do the perfunctory pastoral prayer, Lord, if it be your will, just touch her and all this type of stuff. I said, would it be okay if I just lay hands on your shoulder here and let's seek the Lord? And I invited the Holy Spirit to come and to minister to her. I commanded that bleeding to cease and to stop and for her body to be healed. All I can tell you is as I'm watching, you know, tears are rolling down her face. I know she's being touched. But boy, I don't look for this every time, but I'll tell you what, it's like God turned on some electricity in me. I felt his power going through me. I didn't have any evidence that she was healed when I left that room, but I couldn't wait to go back. I don't remember if it was the next day or 2 days later I went back, and I was kind of feeling like, God, I'm going to be really disappointed if I find out nothing happened, you know, because it sure felt like something is happening. I'll tell you guys, when I walked in that room, she looked like a beauty queen. Her hair was done up. She was all made up. She looked like she'd been out on a shopping spree. She's sitting up and just smiling, and I'm like, Stella, what the heck happened to you? She threw her hands up. She said, praise the Lord, I'm healed, and I'm going home. I said, what? Right? I'm like, you kidding me? Because, you know, you never get tired of seeing God do this stuff. You think he's going to, but boy, when he does, it's just like, man, God, thank you so much. I said, Stella, when did that happen for you? She looked at me like I was crazy. When you prayed the other day. She had immediately, God touched me. She was like that woman in the Bible who got a hold of the hem of Jesus' garment and knew immediately that her body had been healed. She said, that's what happened to me. And she said, the doctors, the bleeding immediately stopped. Doctors can't find anything. They said, go on home. She lived into her 90s and never had another issue. Is that not awesome, huh? Thank God for Stella. Now, guys, a couple things I want to say about that. First, I wish I could tell you it happens like that all the time. It doesn't. You can't find me one person who works in healing ministry who can say that every time it happens the way they prayed. They'd be lying to you. We're in a broken world. We don't understand. There's still mystery this side of heaven. But I'll tell you what, I've experienced enough answers to prayer that you see what happens? Once you step through the jitters and you see God move, you just got a little more confidence. The next time it comes around like, okay, I'm going to step out trusting God again. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. Had I never gotten the training, I don't know that I'd ever had the confidence to move forward in that area. Some of you are just a little training away from taking some new steps. And I hope you know that we don't do classes around here just because we like to do classes. We put together classes for your training. What's your next step? Where do you want to be a little more like your teacher? Some of you need answers so you can share your faith. Go to Alpha. Some of you want to step out and do a little more praying for people and expecting God to move, then go to doing what Jesus did. Some of you need to get freedom in your life. Go to freedom. You know what? Some of you just need to get deeper into this church, get committed here, and let this be your growing place. Then go to steps 1, 2, 3, and 4 that we talk about every week. Move out of passivity and say, I'm going to do something to move towards what I know God wants me to do. Can I hear an amen? Are you with me on that? Passivity will never get you, will never get you down the road. It's got to be a step of faith. Now let me give you key number 5 here very quickly. And again, it goes along with how we throw off passivity. Here's the H on this one. Hate. It's okay for Christians to hate some things. I didn't say people. Hate. Staying bound by passivity. Some of you need to start asking God to give you a holy hatred for what's keeping you stuck. A holy hatred for the rut you're in. No longer. No more status quo. See, the truth is we rarely step out to change anything. Or to take bold action in anything until we hate the status quo. We hate those things that are keeping us from God's best. This is why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, I know it's talking about moral evil. He said, hate what is evil. It's talking about moral evil and cling to what is good. But you know what? I've broadened that category of evil a little bit more there. Not just moral evil. I want to hate anything in my life that is keeping me from God's best. God's okay if I hate that. Because he knows we don't move out of the rut until we get to a place where we say, I can't stand where I am anymore. No longer. I'm taking the step of faith to get out of here. I can take you to the place up on Route 26 that runs by the Nazareth House where I spend a lot of my time on study break. I can take you to the very place and the step I was making when I was complaining to God about my knee pain a few months ago. And I said, God, I'm so tired of looking like a blimp. And then he said, can I talk to you about that? And it wasn't about weight loss. It was about why I am bound by comfort food. And he went in and began to do some healing in me. And that was the day that the switch flipped in my mind. And I've been on my way down, 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 down. I'm going to continue until I get to my ideal weight. But I want you to know, it never would have happened if I hadn't gotten to a place where I said, God, I hate being bound by this anymore. Some of you need to pray for a holy hatred about the things that are keeping you from moving forward. Because until I've had enough, until I hate what passivity is doing to me in any area of my life and the negative consequences I'm reaping, I'm not usually motivated to change. But once I hate it, I'm motivated. So where are you ready to make some changes today in your life because you're sick and tired of being sick and tired? And when you get there, that's God stirring you. You ask him for your next step and he'll give it to you. And you take that step of faith, asking him to confirm it all the way. I close with this little story. Those of you who are in small groups and you're going through the material, you're going to hear it again this week. But I love this story. I've never forgotten it from the moment I read it a few years ago in our Peoria paper. It was a gal writing into a Dear Abby letter. Written by a 38-year-old mother of two who was thinking about going back to medical school after having been recently divorced. And she explained to Abby that at the age of 20, she had given up her schooling and her dream of becoming a doctor in order to get married. But now, here she was years later, divorced, needing to provide for herself, and still having that dream, but wondering whether it was too late to pursue that dream. Her question to Abby was, Abby, I've got at least another 7 years of school in front of me. Do you realize how old I'll be in 7 years if I do this? Abby's response was classic. She answered, how old will you be in 7 years if you don't do it? I just love that. She was saying, you can take action and have something to show for it in 7 years, or you can opt for passivity and be stuck in the same old rut 7 years from now. But either way, you'll be 7 years older no matter what. Your choice. And I go, that is a word for somebody here today. Guys, if you're going to walk tall, you're going to have to fight against the passivity that seeks to keep you stuck in the same old rut. Step out in faith. Believe in God for something better. Don't miss your miracle moment because you were afraid to move. And that fear kept you mired in passivity. Amen? Come on, I want you to stand. I want to pray for you today. As we go out, I want you to just bow your head and your heart right now before the Lord. No looking around. I know God's spoken to some of you today. You didn't even have to think about that area of change. You didn't even have to think about that place where you're in the rut. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But again, with your head bowed, I'm not going to ask anybody to come down here. I just want you by just an uplifted hand, because I want to pray for you, to say, Kel, I know exactly the rut. I know my rut. I've got places in my life that need to change. Just lift your hand if that's you. I've got places in my life that I know need to change, and I've been sitting back. I'm not going to sit back anymore. Okay. Father, I'm praying for everyone here that just lifted a hand. And in Jesus' name, I break any spirit behind that passivity. I break off fear in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that the faith you planted today will cause them to step out in faith. Those of you who lifted a hand, ask God right now, what's my next step? Because he never stirs your faith, but that he gives you the step. He doesn't give you the whole plan. He gives you the next step. And when you take that step, guess what? You can ask him, what's my next step? And as you take those steps, I'm telling you, you're going to see him confirm it. You're going to see him confirm it. You're going to see him confirm it. And you're going to be saying, wow, look what God has done. Father, I pray faith over this body, that when you call us to move, every one of us, Lord, we will move. And I thank you for the changes. I thank you for the miracle moments that are coming our way even now as we declare no more passivity, no more. Just step out in faith. We give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand today for his word to you. God bless you. Hey, have a great week. We'll hope to see you back next week. Now, listen, if you need prayer for anything, maybe for some of you, perhaps the Lord will work if you come on down, all right? The prayer team will be here to pray with you. And so those of you watching online, thank you so much. It's always great to know you're out there. I hope the Lord spoke to you today. Man, listen, step out in faith. Don't allow passivity to keep you back in any way. Ask God for your next step and then go after it, anticipating good things. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But to get there, we've got to step out. I hope you'll do that. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you next week. Love you. Have a great week.